Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Export Tennessee Red Theater Report, where in East Lansing we wave with five fingers as opposed to one like they do in Columbus. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Theater Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Theater Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, contributors Ryan McCumber and Mike Sterner join me as we preview the Big Ten tournament as it stands right now. We're going to talk a little bit about Denzel Valentine's guarantee, but first we're going to take a look back at the Ohio State game and what has been a remarkable senior class. Mike, we're going to start with you. Let's get your thoughts on the seniors, because I know you more than anybody else is probably going to miss Colby Wallen.
I think it was one of Izzo's favorite senior classes. Of course, you have Denzel and Matt Costello, who've been involved for a long time since they were young guns as freshmen, 2012-2013. And then, of course, you have the addition of Bryn Forbes, who Tom Izzo says is one of his biggest regrets that he didn't offer out of high school. And then, of course, Colby has been more than just a player. He's been, as Tom Izzo put it, a tutor. So, and then, of course, you got somebody like Denzel, who's one of the best players in the country, who is the best player since Draymond Green in East Lansing. And then Matt Costello has been a senior leader. Bryn Forbes is a three-point sniper. So all kinds of things going on. It's definitely one of the more memorable classes. I think that they can become even more memorable, obviously, with what they can do in the tournament, and we'll see what that equates to. And I know we're going to talk about the Denzel Valentine guarantee, but it should be quite interesting to see how this class finishes an already successful 4 years in East Lansing.
And if you want to talk about the level of success that Izzo has plans for these guys obtaining during the Senior Day festivities, he said he's had about three teams that he thought could win it all. Only one of them has. This one's going to be the fourth team that he feels can do that. I mean, two of them probably would have if Kalen Lucas not got hurt that one year. Ryan, what about you, man?
I agree with Sterner. I think that that this is one of Tom Izzo's best senior classes that he's had. Denzel Valentine has made himself to, a guy that we would get frustrated about as a sophomore and at times last year as a junior, into a guy who in my opinion should be the national player of the year. He's having one of the best seasons in college basketball I think we've seen in a long time. Matt Costello has he didn't live up to my expectations, but he has absolutely met them this year. He's averaging a double double during Big Ten play, which is, I think, he's one of the best big men in the conference. Bryn Forbes, obviously. Probably the best three-point shooter in the country this year. He helped guide MSU to a Final Four last year. Two big years from him. And then Wallman, he's, whenever he's needed to play, he's given them pretty good minutes, and he's obviously done better than anybody expected him to do at Michigan State.
I mean, you just got to look back to last year, what Colby Wallman did, because he kind of got buried in the depth this season with the emergence of Kenny Goins. Marvin Clark has obviously stepped up a little bit as of late. The senior class, so 109 wins. Andre Hudson and Charlie Bell have the record 115. It's doable. It is very doable. Big Ten championship and the trip to the Final Four would do it. Or if you want to go ahead and sacrifice everything in the Big Ten, those six more wins, they could tie it up in the national champ with a national championship victory. So, I mean, that just shows you the contributions of this team and how dominant they've been, because you have to throw last year into the equation as well. Last year was an awful year comparatively for Michigan State basketball standards. And so this class, they accomplished a lot more, and I think a lot more than what people have expected, especially after the freshman and sophomore years of Valentine and Costello, where they didn't live up to the expectations. Let's focus a little bit on the game Saturday. Michigan State assures themselves the number two seed in the Big Ten tournament. Ryan, what did you see? What were your thoughts during the game?
You know, I thought Michigan State played a pretty good overall game. You know, Brent Forbes didn't have the game he didn't have a great game, but, you know, Darren Harris took some errant shots, but somehow some of them went in. Valentine had a Valentine-type game, you know, pretty good stats. I think he had 27 points and 13 assists or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, Costello had a big game. He almost tied the all-time Michigan State blocks record. Had a questionable call that took that away from him. And, you know, I thought that they played a decent game. I didn't think it was their best game by any means of the year, but they played well enough to beat a shorthanded Ohio State team at home.
I mean, you say shorthanded because, yeah, they are missing Jayshon Tate. I say they're athletic still. Costello, like you mentioned, he is two blocks away. He'll obviously have time to get that. And let's just assume he gets one in the bare minimum of the two games that Michigan State has left on their schedule. He'll end up getting that record. Mike, what did you think?
I thought it was business as usual for the last 3 weeks or so. This team has been playing like, you know, with the drive to really just dominate after that three-game losing streak and then the overtime loss to Purdue. I think they've been playing with like a team on a mission that really wants to do something big, and I think it's really going to jumpstart them into the NCAA tournament. I believe that it wasn't an incredible game, as Ryan mentioned, but it was what you expected them to go out there and do. They took care of business. The seniors played as well as they needed to. You talk about Costello, Valentine, and Forbes. They all played pretty well overall, and they beat an Ohio State team that has the chance to beat any team on any given night, just given the athleticism that they can present and the challenges that come along with that. So it was a nice win to close out their last game in East Lansing with that victory. And it will jumpstart them to a Big Ten tournament run and an NCAA tournament run.
I love how from both of you guys we get that this wasn't Michigan State's best game. And yet, against an athletic Ohio State team, a team that can cause a little bit of problems because they can switch everything because they have three players who are essentially the same size and build and athleticism, Michigan State still scored 91 points. So it just speaks volumes of what this team can do. Ultimately, they didn't do as well from the three-point line as you would like, especially in 4-6, which I can't really remember the last time he struggled that much for it. One of the things that happened, though, and this is what kind of gives me hope, all season long, Tom Izzo has said that he wants to go inside a little bit more. All season long, Tom Izzo says he doesn't want to rely on the three-pointer like he has. And so what happened, Forbes scorched Ohio State for 27 points the first time these two teams met. This time, they made sure Forbes got off to a slow start. They overplayed a little bit on the perimeter, and that opened up the inside. Gavin Schilling had 8 very quick points in a row. They established down low 31 points, 19 rebounds between Marvin Clark, Gavin Schilling, and Costello. Davis, he didn't really have his best game, but Clark has shown that if Davis is off, he can step in and be serviceable. And it just speaks volumes to the ways that this team can hurt you. Everyone knows the stats. First and three-point field goal percentage in the country. First and rebounding percentage, not margin, percentage in the country. First and defensive field goal percentage. They struggled a little bit against Ohio State because Wallen played a little bit more than he's used to this season, and Deontay Davis had a bad game. But the rest of the way, it was all roses for the green and white. I think that there's just so many ways that they can hurt you. If they do have a bad defensive game, they can hit the threes. If they have a bad three-point shooting game, they can hurt you inside. If they're struggling on offense altogether, they can stop you on defense. This seems like a team that is primed for one of those deep runs, as you guys have mentioned. One of the things that happened afterwards, I don't want to say he guaranteed it, but Denzel talked about how the only team that's going to stop Michigan State is Michigan State. I want to get your thoughts on that, Mike.
I think that it's a confidence, really, that Denzel has kind of always shown throughout his career. He's confident in the team. I know even after the year when we were expected to go possibly win it all, when Dawson was having his best tournament, Denzel spoke about from last year, talking about last year, that they would get back to the Final Four, and they ended up doing that. Now, Travis Trice had a lot to do with that too, but it just speaks to the confidence that Denzel Valentine has had in himself and in his teammates. Now, wouldn't you want anybody to think that they're going to win a national championship when you're as good as Michigan State and you're that's what you want to do in East Lansing. You want to win national championships. So I have no problem with the mindset. It's separating that confidence from, arrogance. And I don't think it really is an arrogance at all. I think it's complete confidence that this team can win it all. And that's what the goal is. I know one of the biggest critiques that people may have had of Izzo throughout his career is that he often talks about getting to Final Fours and getting to Final Fours when he doesn't often take the next step and saying, we want to win a national championship. This seems to be a different year where they're talking about that. And when you set your mind on that, the chances of reaching that goal are going to be higher. So I think that's what this is all about for Denzel. And as the leader of the team, he's setting the tone for that's what this team wants to do.
Yeah, that's always been one of the things that, I mean, it's kind of, I've always thought about with Izzo. You keep talking about reaching the Final Four. You know, Mark D'Antonio reached the playoffs. And it's like, there's bigger goals ahead for both of these programs as they move forward. I think you are right that it does exude a little bit of confidence, but I also think it was taken slightly out of context as, you know how reporters are, they'll ask a question to try to bait someone into saying something. And that was kind of the situation that happened with Denzel. He did take it a little further. The reporters got what they wanted. He did take it a little bit further, but they were asking him about Mateen Cleave's guarantee. And, I mean, only obviously time will tell if we can compare Denzel to a Mateen Cleave's. Ryan, really quick, let's get your thoughts on what Valentine said.
I agree with Mike. Denzel Valentine has always been a confident player. Like Mike said, I mean, even after they lost in the Elite Eight with that Gary Harris, Adrian Payne, Keith Applin team, Denzel Valentine said they'd be back. They'd go to the Final Four the next year, and everybody laughed at him, including myself. And what do you know? They went to the Final Four. So, I mean, it's not arrogance by any means. I agree with Mike. I think it's a sense of confidence. And, you know, people are picking Michigan State to win a national title for good reason. And, it's no coincidence that Denzel Valentine feels very confident about this team winning a national title.
You know what, Ryan, at the rate that you're going with this and all of these admissions on the air about how you were wrong about Tom Izzo last year, about how you were wrong laughing at Denzel Valentine, can you do me a favor and root for Kansas this season? Like, just wrap up your room for the Jayhawks. That would be fantastic. I think everybody in East Lansing would owe you a little something. We are going to talk about the Big Ten tournament in a second, but tonight on the Big Ten Network, the awards are getting sold out. So we're going to give you our picks as far as that goes. We'll start with, let's go, Mike. First team, all Big Ten.
First team, all Big Ten. Shoot, you're putting me on the spot. Go to Ryan first.
Well, you know what? If you would have called in beforehand like Ryan did, you would have known that this was coming. Ryan, what do you got?
I've got Denzel Valentine, Yogi Ferrell, E.J. Hammonds, this is tough. Nigel Hayes, I guess, and I guess I'm going to go with Kendrick Nunn, too. I think that he's had a really good year for Illinois, and he's been really overlooked because Illinois has been a bad team this year. But I'm going to put him on my first team as well.
All right, and you're a player of the year out of that group. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say it's probably going to be Valentine.
Yeah, it's Denzel Valentine. I mean, you can make an argument for Yogi Ferrell. His team won the Big Ten, and he's had a great year, but I just don't see how he can't. I mean, you got to give it to Valentine, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he is the first player to average 19-7-7 since the stat was being kept track of since the 82-83 season. Obviously, guys like Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson would probably have a little something to say about that. Mike, you're up.
All right, I'll go with, for sure, Denzel Valentine. I like the Yogi Ferrell pick. I'll put Jared Uthoff in there. I think he's had a good enough year to be on the list. I'll say Nigel Hayes is also another good pick. And I don't know, I'm gonna stretch a little bit here, and I'm gonna say Taylor from Penn State. I always like to put one underdog on the roster. I think that the only reason why they won games like Iowa and Indiana is because of him. Not many people are gonna put him on their first team, but I think that it's good to have an underdog on the team. And I'll say, of course, Denzel Valentine as the player of the year.
Well, the player of the year is unanimous. I got Valentine as well. I like Ferrell and Hammonds. I think that those are no-brainers. Mike, I'm going to go with you here and say Jared Uthoff is going to be the other guy. But in this last spot, I mean, I was thinking Illinois too, like Ryan was. I was thinking Malcolm Hill maybe. I think that this kid, he'd be first team all Big Ten if he just had a viable supporting cast around him. But what do you have against Penn State? 39 points and 13 rebounds or something like that yesterday. So I think that he would be a great player. He's obviously, he would be on my second team. But I'm going to go Melo Trimble. He's fallen off as of late, but he's still had the body of work throughout the entire season. Maryland was number one for a little bit, or they should have been, I think, before the season started. And I think that they offer a little bit more collectively. As you can tell, Maryland goes as Trimble goes. He's fallen off lately, and so that might hurt him, but I still think you've got a legitimate shot just due to his body of work the entire season. Coach of the year, Ryan.
I'm going to go with Greg Gard from Wisconsin. Going into their game with Michigan State, they were 1-4 in conference, 9-9 overall. Since then, they've been really, really good. I think they're 20-11 now. The two teams they lost to were at Purdue and they were at Michigan State, and there's no shame in losing those games. I think he's done a great job, and I think that he's definitely done enough to keep that job.
I'm going to say, and this will be very much to Ryan's hate, I think Tom Crean, as much as Ryan does not like him, Indiana was thought to not have a chance to win the Big Ten. Everyone said that their schedule was backloaded, which it seemed to be, and that they still continued to win games, and they won the conference by two games outright. So I don't think there's really much. I like the guard pick, but I think that the better coach – oftentimes when it's somebody who's not expected to do something and they win a conference, they're going to get the award. So I think you might see a split between guard and Crean, or you might see Crean win the whole thing tonight.
I'm with you. I kind of actually bounced back between the two of them before the show started today, because it's just incredible what difference the year makes. Tom Crean was supposed to be on the outs at Indiana. Now all of a sudden he's a Big Ten champ. But I'm going to go with Greg Gard, not because of how they started and turned it around, but because of the situations regarding how it started. Ryan retired, then he came back. He didn't do Wisconsin any favors. Then Greg Gard came in, slowly made changes to the offense, and reverted back to the swing offense that Wisconsin used to run. And then they started winning, and I think that Widner's such an obvious change as far as the style of play goes, and it's coinciding with the changing of the guard, if you will. I think that Greg Gard has to win this award. I think Crean will get a couple of votes, but I mean, if I had one, it would go to Gard. We got really quick, because Ryan brought up, Dan Dockich said that Aaron Harris is going to be the defensive player of the year of the Big Ten. And so I want to get your takes on that and who it is. Again, just really quick, because we still got to do the tournament outlook and our predictions for the Big Ten tournament. Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
You said, say it one more time.
Dan Dockich thought that Aaron Harris was going to be the defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. By the way, I do want to thank you for listening. Just get your opinions on that and who you think the Big Ten defensive player of the year should be.
I don't know. I don't know if I totally agree with that idea. I think that his defense has improved throughout the year, but I think he's had some lapses. I think he even had one against Ohio State, where Izzo went off on him. It was either him or Forbes, but I don't know if I would agree with that. I think maybe if you're going based upon what you expect and what you got, he's one of the most improved defensive players. I don't know if I'd go that far. I don't know. I like Deontay Davis just at Michigan State. I like Deontay Davis a lot because he really shut down some guys that were really having big games going into the matchup with Michigan State. Yeah, I think the one that we all remember most is the notorious Nigel game, where Nigel Hayes really just he was completely shut down by Deontay Davis after not looking like he could do that against Wisconsin in Madison. So I think he's got to be up on the list. I don't know about Harris and Dan Dockich. He's always reaching to me. So,
all right, Ryan, what do you got?
I totally disagree with Dan Dockich on this. I usually disagree with him anyways. So, but I mean, Aaron Harris has improved on his defense, but I just don't know how you can give him Player of the Year. I got to go with Rayfeld Davis from Purdue. I think he won it last year. I'd give it to him again this year. He just makes a huge difference on the defensive end. He shut down Brent Forbes and West Lafayette this year. I can't give it to Harris. You got to give it to Rayfeld Davis, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Ryan. We are going to take a look at the Big Ten tournament, though, in general. Right now, Wednesday, Illinois versus Minnesota, Nebraska versus Rutgers. Then Thursday, Michigan versus Northwestern, Ohio State versus Penn State. Iowa and Wisconsin are waiting on the winners of those other games, respectively. Friday, Indiana, Purdue, Michigan State, and Maryland all get the double byes. Michigan State is going to get the winner of Ohio State and Penn State. Mike, your thoughts?
I expect Penn State to beat Ohio State, and maybe some people are shocked by that, but Penn State, for whatever reason, likes to play well in the Big Ten tournament. They've been doing it the last few years, back even into the Taylor Battle days when they played their way into the tournament through this tournament.
I think
but,
you could go to the Crispin days.
Yeah, I would say that too. But anyway, so I think they could. I think Penn State's going to beat Ohio State, and then I really think that if that MSU gets that matchup with Penn State, they're going to manhandle the Nittany Lions in Indianapolis, and I don't think it really even will be a game. And I think MSU will march on to Saturday.
And if that stood, chances are it would be Wisconsin or Maryland waiting there. Do you have Michigan State winning the whole thing?
Right now I think Michigan State will win the whole thing. I'm sensing a Michigan State-Indiana final. I think that the Spartans will – I'm gonna say Wisconsin beats Maryland in that matchup, and then Michigan State knocks out Wisconsin to be able to play the Hoosiers. And I really think that MSU just handles Indiana well. If you neutralize their ability to shoot the basketball, they're not the most incredible defensive team. Michigan State will jump out in front against the Hoosiers and win that game, I think, more convincingly than most people would expect, similar to what happened in East Lansing.
All right, Ryan, what do you have happening?
I'm going literally all chalk except for the title game. I've got Ohio State defeating Penn State. I really think the Michigan State-Ohio State game will be closer than people expect due to it's difficult to beat a team three times in one season. I've got Michigan State beating Maryland in a very close game. I think that's going to be the toughest game that they play in this tournament. Maryland's athleticism, and I agree with Mike. I think Michigan State's going to beat Indiana in the final, and I'm not sure it'll be – I mean, I think it'll be a closer game than Mike thinks, but I expect Michigan State to pull it out.
Yeah, I've got – I mean, I think Michigan State's going to win the first game, and, I mean, with all due respect to Ohio State and Penn State, Michigan State's just a much better team. I mean, that's how it is. If you look at the teams that got the double byes, I mean, other than – well, the teams with the buys, period, other than Iowa and Wisconsin, I think that there's such a difference between Wisconsin at 6 and Ohio State at 7 and the rest of the Big Ten. And so I've got Maryland beating Michigan State. I just think that the last game at the Breslin Center was close. I don't think that Aaron Harris is playing on his game defensively like he did earlier in the season. As you watch the Ohio State game and I think the Penn State game, at one point he's on the right wing and he is forcing, or he's on the offense's left wing, he's forcing right-handed ball handlers to the middle of the floor as opposed to the outside. It's a lack of awareness as far as that goes. So I think Maryland's going to end up pulling it out. I think Michigan State, they're just going to be focused on the bigger picture. They're going to be focused on a certain guarantee, if you will. And I think that we have a Purdue-Maryland final. I'm probably going to go with Purdue to win the Big Ten championship this year, as much as it pains me to say, living in Indiana. I just want you guys to know that I will not hear the end of it if that happens. But that does it for us today. For Ryan McCumber and Mike Sterner, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.